Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Harry's. Of course, you've heard me talk about Harry's razors before on the show. I am a Harry's user, have been for a long time. Of course, I love Harry's because it's the easiest, highest quality product that you can get for men's grooming. Super easy to go over to harrys.com, stock up on what you need for your shaving needs, comes right to your door. And it's high quality stuff, high quality razors, cartridges, shave gel, and it's no fuss. So I've been a Harry's user for a long time, and I would encourage you to do the same. Great way to support the show. Go to harrys.com/lineup. And this holiday season, Harry's is offering custom limited edition shaving sets, the perfect gift. Guys, it's the brother-in-law gift. It's the default stocking stuffer for your brother, your brother-in-law, your dad, anybody. It's easy. It's great. It's high quality, and it pleases everybody. You get the cartridges. You get the shave gel. You get the limited edition winter chrome handle. Okay? You can get it engraved if you want to go next level. Okay? They start at $10. It's the perfect gift, and you're going to get $5 off your order if you use harrys.com/lineup, and it's a great way to support the show. So this holiday, give Harry's, give Handsome, get that holiday shopping done, get that holiday shopping done online at your desk while you're at work, and cross it off your list, because honestly, you can't fail with harrys.com/lineup. Now let's get into the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in, Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate upcoming on Monday night, Monday, December 4th, coming at you after a long day of football, a long day in which Rex Burke had kind of just crushed a lot of dreams. Oh, Rex Burkhead, you dirty, dirty dog. We'll talk about that more tomorrow on the NFL Game by Game podcast. However, we have an NBA DFS slate to break down. I know that that's our bread and butter, baby. NBA DFS in full swing. We have a lot to talk about. And I'm kind of thinking I'm restructuring the show. Not in a complete and totally different way, but just to the beginning of the show, and I want to let you guys know exactly what we're going to do. Okay, first off, we're going to go with Vegas, and as I always do, go through Vegas, but I'm going to go through the totals from low to high like I did with NFL. So you can kind of take a listen, you know, I won't talk as much about those super low and slow games, maybe give you a couple ideas of some value plays in those, because there's always viable plays in the games, just you don't want to be overweight on them. And then progress up the chain towards the more juicy matchups that have higher totals in Vegas. So that's one thing. Then I'm going to follow that up with just focusing on injuries. It's so, so important right now that I want to make sure you guys are completely and totally aware. I mention it in the Vegas section often, but I want to make sure you guys are totally aware of injuries and where they lie and who's going to get a boost from playing in that situation. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in and take a look at tonight. All right, so as we open, we have a couple games here that do not yet have totals because we have some injury issues. So I'll start with those, and we'll move forward with the games without totals. Right now, Washington at Utah, no total in this one. I think we're waiting on some Rodney Hood news. We're waiting on the possibility. There was some whispers that Rudy Gobert was practicing, feeling a little bit better. So we're going to wait to see that. But, of course, John Wall remains out, so that's the biggest piece there. But we'll see what this total is at. The Jazz have been playing extremely well. Donovan Mitchell is honestly going to push Ben Simmons for Rookie of the Year right now. He keeps his scoring up. It's unbelievable. I watched that game Friday night. He was dominant. Dominant is the only word for it. And to see a 20-year-old, you know, 21-year-old just dominate in the NBA was a thing of beauty. By the way, the Pelicans' defense is terrible. Knicks, Pacers, no total in this one, but massive injuries. We have Tim Hardaway Jr. out with a lower leg injury, still diagnosed. We don't really know what it is. KP still out with the ankle. This team is just really pretty ugly without those two primary guys. They did score 100 points on the Magic, but this should definitely be an interesting spot to target for some value pieces and certainly a spot that we may want to exploit if we continue to see those injuries there. But no total in this one, but the Pacers are favored right now by 8. So just to give you a sense, they haven't set a number for it, but the Pacers are favored. Which is interesting. And I agree. I mean, obviously the Pacers team is a little bit better than the Knicks team, and especially with no Kristaps. Golden State at New Orleans. Now, this one is definitely going to be a high total. My guess is it will land somewhere in the 220s. No doubt about it. My guess is it's going to be up in the 220s as one of the highest totals on the night, but it hasn't been set yet. Of course, we have some injuries on both sides of the ball here. New Orleans dealing with the Anthony Davis groin injury, which I think is going to be a long one. It popped and he just fell and it looked bad. It looked like it hurt like hell. He couldn't get up, support his leg. So I think he blew something up real bad, not just like a pull or a strain. Like he blew it up. And then on the Golden State side, we're still dealing. Sean Livingston is going to be out of this one. Andre Iguodala is going to be out on this one. None of the primary guys, but it's interesting how that affects bench minutes. So we will look at that necessarily. We have some totals. Okay, now let's get into these games where we actually have numbers here. Pistons at Spurs, 198 total here. 97 implied for Detroit, 100 for the Spurs. Spurs are 3-point favorites. So we are looking at an interesting number. I mean, even a depleted Spurs team that Kyle Anderson is probably not going to play. We are going to see a Spurs team that rested a bunch of guys come back tonight. We'll see who plays. I mean, DeJounte Murray took over the starting point guard duties. It is interesting. So we have a lot of Spurs roster things going on that we have to pay attention to. So you're going to have to make sure that you get your Spurs news here. But they're even favored, I guess they're favored at home. So that would make sense to me. I thought for a second, sorry, I thought this was in Detroit, which I thought would have been a little bit aggressive the way that Detroit is playing. But I think this is an interesting spot for a lot of guys. We'll take a look certainly at a guy like Drummond, maybe a little bit of Tobias Harris, and possibly some of the reserve value that may come up without Kyle Anderson in the lineup. But I'd be interested to see who gets a boost there. Minnesota at Memphis, 202 total here, and Minnesota only favored by 2.5. Don't know if I agree with that one. Obviously, Minnesota's defense, not necessarily their strong suit this year, and they are coming off a back-to-back, but they're just the more complete team right now. We don't really have any more serious injuries beyond the Mike Conley injury for Memphis. So we are still, looking at the... We are still looking at the same Memphis roster that we have been dealing with for a while, and nothing serious on the Minnesota side. So we can kind of project the minutes here. But I mean, even coming off the back-to-back last week in New Orleans, Minnesota put up a pretty serious number here. This team is playing really, really well, even with the core starters running like 65 minutes a game. I feel comfortable with both sides of the ball. So we'll definitely talk about some players from that, especially players on... Well, actually, a lot of players in that game. I think that's an interesting one, even though it is a lower total. Celtics at Bucks, Bucks at Celtics, 204 total here, and Celtics are favored by 5 at home. This one's going to be good. This one's worth watching. Giannis is on fire. He's crushing. After that little bit of slump on that West Coast road trip, he just took advantage. We've seen him in that Celtics game before. However, it really feels like Brad Stevens probably is going to be the coach that writes the book on how to stop Giannis. We will have seen them play 3 times this year. He crushed them once. They stopped them once. It'll be interesting to see how the Celtics adapt, the Bucks adapt here in this situation. Other than that, no serious injuries on either side of the ball, so we're not really too worried about the injury value in that one. Detroit at Dallas, or no, excuse me, not Detroit at Dallas, Denver at Dallas, 208 total here, and Dallas favored by two. This injury-depleted Nuggets team has almost zero front court. They're allowing a lot of scoring, and they're doing a lot of scoring. So this is a high total, 106 for the Mavs. That's not a number you usually see for them. You know, you're much more likely to see them in the 101 range, 102 range, but 106 is a good number in a high-paced game for them. The Nuggets, on paper, you think are a better team, definitely. You know, and if they had Millsap and Jokic out there, I think that they would be, you know, a much better team, but they don't, and they're probably not going to have them. Wilson Chandler's still questionable with the back. We'll see if he plays. So certainly a good spot to get some attack this game for some kind of, I think, grout guys. You know, Harrison Barnes, Gary Harris, Dennis Smith. If he's been getting minutes, we can do that. Chicago at Cleveland at Chicago. I keep messing up the home and away. Cleveland at Chicago, 211 total here. Cleveland only favored by 9. Give me a break. I mean, yeah. If Cleveland decides that they want to play defense like they have in a couple games recently, and it's funny, they turn it on, they turn it off. They don't play defense against Atlanta. They play great defense against Philadelphia. You know, I don't know necessarily how much they're going to show up for this game. But we can certainly look at some of the grout-style plays on the Chicago side of the ball. Guys like Justin Holiday maybe would benefit from this matchup. And, you know, we're looking at some injuries in the Chicago front court. Beyond, you know, the Nico Mirotic, we're still – Bobby Portis also has an arm injury, so he may not play. We're going to have to take a look at exactly what that opens up. We'll talk about it. Brooklyn at Atlanta – 218 total here. This is a great game for, you know, some Hawks. But the Hawks, man, talk about a team that is banged up in the front court. Of course, we know Dwayne Dedman has been out. Now John Collins is out with a shoulder. And we have Mike Muscala out with an ankle. So you have Luke Babbitt and I believe Ersan is back. It's just a kind of a disaster in the Atlanta front court. So we're going to have to take a very close look at what to do with the Nets. You know, on the Hawks side of the ball, we're still dealing with D'Angelo Russell. So Spencer Dinwiddie, man, the guy has been phenomenal in replacement of him. He looked really good over the weekend in that Mavs game. Just and Trevor Booker. If you get Trevor Booker at full minutes, he is in that same category as Taj Gibson. Reliable rebounder with upside. You know, that's what you have. You have reliable rebounder with double-double upside. So he is a solid power forward option anytime you know he's going to get close to 30 minutes. And he's been an engine for that team. I mean, in that Mavericks game, he really kept them alive and late in that game. Just rebounding, hustling, loose balls, pumping everybody up. He's a good presence for that squad. Charlotte at Orlando, 219 total. This is a big number for Charlotte to get 113 here, you know, minus 8. Kemba is probably back. He practiced over the weekend. The shoulder injury seems like it's back. Do you trust him coming off the shoulder injury? I was skeptical about Nick Batum off the shoulder injury or the elbow injury. It was right to be skeptical. He's not taking a lot of shots. He's not that comfortable with it yet. He's more just kind of, you know, doing off the ball stuff, defensive stuff. So we have some interesting places to go with this game. This is a really high total and a nice pace up affair for Charlotte in this situation, but we're going to have to figure out who we want. Orlando coming off the back-to-back, they beat up the Knicks a little bit yesterday. So definitely some pieces we can look at on the Orlando wings, you know, John Simmons in the starting lineup now. Evan Fournier still priced down, but seemed to find a little bit of rhythm yesterday with the shooting. I think that that's a good sign. That definitely something we want to do. Phoenix at Philadelphia, 228. The whole world will roster JoJo, and we all should roster JoJo. It's not really even, I mean, it's JoJo or DeMarcus. That's it. JoJo or DeMarcus. 108 to 119 total. 76ers favored by 10. I mean, how many 76ers do you want to put in your lineup? If you're on DK, you probably should have at least two 76ers, and I would definitely try to fit DeMarcus and JoJo in one lineup. And by the way, guys, I'm not going to stop calling him JoJo, okay? And also, if you have not seen the Joel Embiid meets Bojan Bogdan, it's the funniest, one of the funniest clips in the world. He like stares at him really like quietly. Like, I kind of wonder if he had BO and he's kind of like, damn, dude, you're kind of smelly. And then he goes, all right, let's go. And he taps him on the butt and it's just the best. He just trolls guys so hard. He makes people laugh. This guy is, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm going to buy my kids Joel Embiid jerseys, and they're two. He's two. Like, I really want my kid to have a Joel Embiid. I don't, you know. If this is his Jordan, this is great. This is great news. If Joel Embiid is his Jordan or his Shaq, right? I mean, I had the Shaq jersey, right? I had the Shaq figurine with the Shaq that broke the backboard figurine. Remember the Shaq action figures in the Orlando Magic pinstripe jersey? Come on. Yes, you do. If you didn't have it, then you're not a kid of the 90s, okay? If you grew up in the 90s, you probably had some Shaq paraphernalia in your life. In fact, let's talk about that on Twitter today. Shaq paraphernalia that you really liked. All right, anyway, after the Shaq paraphernalia, let's go over and let's take a specific look at injuries today and some of the injuries that we have to pay close attention to. Guys, this segment is brought to you by iFriends over at fantasy5by5.com. That's fantasy5x5.com, your one-stop shop for NBA DFS analytics, okay? This website is a gem. It is dedicated to solely NBA DFS. This is your one-stop. You have to go to, you may have to feel like you have to go to a million different places to get NBA DFS research. No longer. Fantasy 5x5. You have injury updates. You have status updates. You have usage rates. You have box scores for every player. You have minutes rotations for every player. You have optimizer. You have anything and every tool that you could possibly need from one of the, you know, high name premium products here at fantasy5by5.com. I know Chris. He's a kick-ass engineer. We've been working since last year. The pod is over there. You can even listen to the podcast when it's uploaded on his website. It's a phenomenal. You get Vegas. You get everything that you need. And here's the best part, okay? Listen, patrons of Lineup Logic already, for $5 extra, for $15 a month, you're going to get access for Fantasy 5x5 in addition to your NBA cheat sheets. We're going to see on Patreon.com a $15 price tier. You sign up for the $15 price tier. You upgrade. Your email goes to Fantasy 5x5, and you are registered for a Fantasy 5x5 membership. Normally $10 a month, $5. We're splitting the price in half for you guys if you're a patron of Lineup Logic already. Okay? And if you're interested, listener, of Fantasy 5x5, use a promo code. I have a promo code, a link in the notes of the show. You can go ahead over there and get access to all of these tools. So my favorite tool, one of my favorite tools they have over there, it's called the Injury Boost Tool. Chris literally says, okay, so when a player is injured, who gets the biggest fantasy points boost based on the sample size that we've seen? So let's say, for example, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, out. What have we seen in his fantasy boost sample size? Well, in that Laker game, he was a plus seven point boost. So over 7 points over his season average of 27 points. It instantly tells you who is going to pick up usage, fantasy points, etc., based on the sample size that we've seen this year. The injury boost tool is unbelievable. So let's take a look at some of these injury boosts here. Gary Harris and Will Barton, that's a big one. With Jokic out, they've been doing a lot of the scoring, so definitely are interesting. Courtney Lee, Enes Kanter, and Michael Beasley. If we have no Tim Hardaway Jr. and no Jokic, Those guys are going to have massive, massive injury boosts. Okay. As well as Mason Plumlee. So there's a lot of action on the Denver side, a lot of action on the New York side that we have to pay close attention to. Those are really, really valuable injuries there. Rajon Rondo and Boogie have been, I completely forgot about Kenneth Faried and Trey Lyles. So the Denver injuries are huge to this slate, guys. The Denver injuries to Millsap, Jokic, possibly Wilson Chandler, opening up a lot of value all across the board. And Jamal Murray, he had a beast of a game against LA the other night. So Ron, on the New Orleans side, obviously we're looking at Rondo. We're looking at guys like even Dante Cunningham, who's playing in the front court, and Boogie filling in for Anthony Davis. Those are the three guys that are going to get the biggest boost there. On the Warriors, the Sean Livingston, it's interestingly enough, you see a boost for Draymond Green and Kevin Durant with no Sean Livingston and no Andre Iguodala. Sort of makes sense, basically, because you're going to see a little bit of extra, you know, minutes and perhaps some extra peripherals for those guys when they can't fill in off the bench. Of course, we know Alec Burks has been a man just possessed without Rodney Hood in the lineup. He has been phenomenal. A 9-point boost for him over a 4-game sample size, which we've seen is very, very consistent. And Jimmy has actually benefited, as well as Georgie Dang, from the injury to Nemanja Bjelica. Just not as many minutes. Bjelica was soaking up about 15 minutes, the 3 and the 4. So you have Jang and Jimmy filling in for those minutes, as well as Tim Frazier and Tomas Satoransky filling in for John Wall. And Frazier has actually been more inconsistent than Satoransky, and I'll be interested to see who starts that game. As far as the Bulls injuries go, you know, Bobby Portis not out there probably gives a little bit of a minutes boost to Robin Lopez and possibly Paul Zipser. You don't really want to do Paul Zipser, but it's something that you should be paying attention to. And then the last couple that I want to make sure you guys are aware of on the Jazz, a couple other thoughts here. With Gobert out, if he comes back, then we have to pay attention to this. But with Gobert out, we've actually seen Jonas Jerebko be a little bit more successful of late, getting a little bit more run, more comfortable. He's someone to pay attention to, of course. Donovan Mitchell and Derek Favors have been excellent. Derek Favors averaging 36.9 fantasy points over the span that Rudy Gobert was out. I mean, they're just getting amazing play from him. So certainly a lot to consider on this slate, but that injury boost tool, man, just such a great quick reference to see the injury, the player that's filling in for him, and what kind of fantasy value you might expect. Now, of course, as the sample size grows, you start to feel a little bit more comfortable with the information there, but there's so many good tools at fantasy5by5.com, so patrons, keep an eye out for that upgraded price tier, and you can get free access if you are a registered $15 patron of Lineup Logic to all of these premium tools. And I'm looking at this, by the way. Back-to-back home road split boosts, back-to-back, you know, struggles, home road split boosts, who does better at the home, who does better at the road, the rest boost, rematch boost. This is one of my favorite tools. And the DVP deep dive, two ways to see how does this player fare against this team. For example, Kemba Walker versus the Magic. Healthy Kemba Walker, 62 fantasy points against the Magic. Bron against the Bulls, 62 fantasy points. You don't even have to go research the game logs, because on Fantasy 5x5, Chris outlines that for you right away. It's the rematch boost, which is one of the quickest things. It's the quickest way to figure out how many points did these guys score against somebody else in their last time out. How did Boogie do last time out against Golden State? 52. It's right here. I can see it. I don't have to do any research. It's right in front of me. It's literally right in front of me. So phenomenal stuff here from fantasy5by5.com. Phenomenal tools. If you have any questions, hit me up. All right. Moving on to the player breakdown. Let's figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, you guys know how we're going to do this. We're going to start at the top of the slate. We got to talk about your studs. You got to figure out where your who you're rostering as a high-priced option here going into tonight. And let's start with the point guard position. You know, Steph stands out because of the matchup. It's obviously it's an interesting spot. You know, Curry versus New Orleans. New Orleans just is defensively not very good. You know, no Anthony Davis in this one. And of course, you have one of the most elite point guards out there who just, you know, had a doozy of a game yesterday. Scored 30 against the Heat on the road. Back-to-back for him, not as big of a deal as some of the other guys on that team. So you have to be interested in this spot, especially because you know that there's no way that Jrue Holiday can be the only person who guards him. You know, that's the thing that you really have to pay attention to is that Holiday is really the only plus perimeter defender that they have. You know, so he's kind of like, I always think Steph is slightly contrarian because I think people just get so worried about blowout. But blowout is a real serious concern here. You know, he went for 42 fantasy points against them last time. Don Mitchell just destroyed this team from the point. Damian Lillard had 42 as well. So you have to set the floor, I think, for Steph at 40 in this situation. That feels like a comfortable floor. I mean, Klay Thompson just really hasn't done any real serious scoring on the wing, but this is a really good spot for KD as well. So he could do a ton of scoring if he wanted to just take over. You know, I really do. I mean, I think it's contrarian to go with Steph Curry in this situation. I think you're going to be slightly different than a lot of people. The question is, you know, at just over 9K, is he going to get you over 45 fantasy points? Does he need to get you over 45 fantasy points? You know, you have the 40-point floor, but is Steph going to get you that 4K that you're, or 4X that you're always used to? That's kind of what I would expect from him in this situation. So, you know, from the point guard perspective, I think that's about it. I mean, you go down into the eights and the sevens, and you have a lot of really nice options. So let's move over to the shooting guard position. You know, it is a really, really good night for Victor Oladipo, no doubt about it. 9-2 on FanDuel, 8-7 on DraftKings. I mean, the way that this man has been playing is insane, and he's got the Knicks tonight banged up on a back-to-back. You know, a poor backcourt defense, really, that struggled with the point guard. So, you know, Collison is very much in play as well, no doubt about it. But he's just been insane. Over 50 in all of his last three games. Everything goes through him right now. All the usage goes through him. He's rebounding. He's running the break. He's been racking up the steals. You know, New York does allow an above-average number of steals and assists. And I think that this is a good spot for peripherals as well for Oladipo. You know, I was bearish on him in that Toronto matchup because I thought, here's a decent team defense, you know, well coached. They have the ability to stick, you know, another wing on him. And he went out and he dropped 50. Like, the guy just has the ability right now to take over this offense. And this New York team is not going to really have an answer for him. So, I mean, they have no Porzingis. They have no Tim Hardaway Jr. He's going to see defense from, you know, Michael Beasley and I think probably my guess would be small forward veteran. Well, Courtney Lee obviously is out there as well. I don't know. Could they slow down the pace and struggle, you know, kind of suffocate him? Yes, but I just think this is a good spot for Oladipo at 9-2. I think it's an interesting play, but there are a lot of really good shooting guard spots out there too, so he's not a must have. I think if you want to pay above, you know, 10-11K, the clear option is LeBron. That's a really safe cash game play. LeBron at this spot versus Chicago, you know, I mean, this team is just terrible. No doubt about it. They have just brutal defense. Their defensive rating right now is 28th in the league. Cleveland is up to 26th. They've been playing some better defense, not really good defense, but better defense, no doubt about it. You know, but you've seen them give up some big performances of late. LeBron is over 12K on FanDuel, You know, and 11-8 on DK. Now, do I like Giannis here? Yeah, I do. I do like Giannis, especially on DK where he is 10-6. I think that that's a very, very reasonable price for Giannis in the situation. Now, small forward on DK has, you know, just seems to be, there's a lot of pricing inefficiencies right now. So there's some spots that you can certainly exploit. And that definitely is one of them. I think that that's a worthy price to pay. The issue that you have with Giannis is I think Brad Stevens actually has a formula, kind of knows how to defend him. You have a really high quality team defense and you have the ability to figure out how to defend him. They limited him in that second game. Remember, the first one he smashed. Second one, they limited him. You wonder if he is going to be able to hit that payoff, that 12K price point. Now, is it going to be a competitive game? Is it going to be back and forth? Yes. Do you love all of that? Yes. I wish he was at home, you know, and I wish that there was a... I just wish that we didn't... I didn't know too much about... You almost know too much about Brad Stevens. And you're paying that, you know, that high price for him, you know. I mean, I say he didn't smash in that last one. He did go for 59. I remember it being like 49. So on DK, I think he's a lock. Like, I really do. Like, Giannis at 10K, that's just too cheap. I think on FanDuel, you can consider pivoting away from him, you know, because you have a high-quality defense that's going to probably concentrate on trying to figure out how to stop him. Now, the question is can they? They're soft in the middle. I've heard a lot of analysts talk about this. You know, this Boston team is soft in the middle. Horford is not an elite rim protector, so you have the ability, if he can get a step, you have the ability to easily score at the rim and finish. You like that a lot. So I don't mind it. I think it's definitely a DK play over FanDuel, because on FanDuel you have LeBron in a you know, there's just no way that he scores less than 50. The question is blowout. I mean, Chicago has allowed some of the most points to the small forward position, 21-6 and 3 is an average line. He scored 62 against them last time out. Now, if Cleveland plays defense and Chicago can't hit any shots, then you're kind of fucked. I mean, then LeBron is going to only have to play 28 minutes. He's not going to necessarily have to do a whole lot. Jeff Green could, you know, blow up. There's a lot of things that could happen here. You know, Dwayne Wade could blow up, and then all of a sudden the bench destroys them. You worry about blowout, I think, but you also understand that LeBron has one of the safest, you know, 45-point floors in the league. So I think it's a platform choice. It's also a lineup construction decision. You know, are you going to go for the 10K studs, or are you going to go up and build around some of the 12K? You certainly have enough value on the slate that you can do it either way. But I think it's about your preference. I mean, he hasn't missed 50 points except for 3 times in the entire month of November, right? I mean, you have a 50-point floor here, and I think you probably have a 50-point floor with Giannis. You're just paying a lot more on FanDuel than you are on DraftKings. I think it's almost a lock button play for me on DK. KD versus New Orleans. He's only 9K on DK, but I guess his recent performances would kind of actually tell you that actually is right. And you know, on a FanDuel at 10-4, you're starting to get to an area where you're like, God damn, that is just so cheap for a guy who can go out and score 70. The problem is he hasn't had to do it, and he's not going to do it recently. He's just not clearly not applying the effort in the peripheral categories. Not really throwing a lot of defense out there, rebounds, stuff like that, letting the game come to him. And they've been winning anyway. So he's not exerting himself. He's scoring 20. He's getting, you know, 5 rebounds, 3-4 assists, that kind of thing. And they're winning handily. So you really have a hard time paying for, you know, similar to Steph in this situation. You have a hard time paying that, you know, you pretty much have a 40-point play here. And unless this game stays really, really competitive and he has to play extra minutes, you just don't necessarily see peak Kevin Durant right now in a, you know, regular season game coming off a back-to-back in New Orleans without Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? Like that's a concern. So I don't necessarily think that you can play KD. I think it's a little bit of a contrarian move, but you know, who guards him? Darius Miller, Dante Cunningham, right? I mean, come on. Like, this is not a thing. Like, this is, the only plus defender on that team is Jrue Holiday, and he can't guard everyone. So you got to think he guards Steph or he guards Clay or they just switch everything. I just don't know how Golden State doesn't blow this New Orleans team out of the water. I really don't. At power forward, obviously, guys, if you're on DK, you were wondering why I didn't talk about Ben Simmons versus the versus the Suns, and you're going, wait a second, Sean, you skipped Ben Simmons versus the Suns. No, I just, you know, I used the FanDuel positions, and Simmons versus the Suns is so sexual. I mean, 10-5 on FD and 9-8 on DK. I mean, if I'm going to act like 10-5 for Ben Simmons versus the Suns or 10-4 versus, you know, KD versus the Pels, like it's Ben Simmons all day. You know, there's just no feasible way that Phoenix can really limit him, you know, in a very, very, you know, like serious fashion. Now, the one thing that you can do against Simmons is really protect the rim and limit his attempts. And, you know, I mean, he only took 6 attempts in that Detroit game. You know, he was fine in the peripherals, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. That's great. But he only scored 5 points, one of the strangest things that you ever see. I mean, you know, I think that they tried, they you know, there was some good defense, you know, the Suns just don't play good defense. There's TJ Warren. And if TJ Warren guards him, that's fine, but you're going to be able to generate switches and stuff like that. And there's just no way. I just don't think that there's any way he only comes out and takes 6 shot attempts again. You know, maybe they were trying to get Bob Cove going. I'm not really sure how that happened, but it feels like a really great spot for Ben Simmons against Phoenix. No doubt about it. You worry about that scoring because he really doesn't shoot. I mean, he really doesn't. He gets to the rim a ton, but you like the fast break points. They allow a ton of fast break points. So you hope it stays close and he pushes over 50 points, no doubt about it. But he definitely has a 40-point floor for me in this matchup. At center, I think there's 2 good spots here. Boogie versus Golden State, obviously, that's a phenomenal. No Anthony Davis. He's 11K on FanDuel, and I believe he's the same price on DraftKings. Hold on one second. Let me get my pricing chart out here. Yeah, same price on DK. That's nice. That's great. Okay. Usage rate is insane. Took 28 shots the other day in Portland. No assists. You give him the ball, he's going to shoot. They won that game, you know. And the thing that you worry about, like I said, is blowout. And Draymond Green. Draymond is going to guard him. Draymond is going to have nothing else to worry about. There's no Anthony Davis to take away attention. Draymond is shut down. Even with Davis last time out in Golden State, he only scored 41. And I think that's probably because of Draymond. I mean, and Davis had a big game. The usage is there, no doubt about it. But centers have definitely struggled against this team of late. It's not necessarily been the smash spot that it was earlier in the season. I think they're addressing their paint defense to figure out how to guard these guys. And listen, Boogie can and has gotten over on the Warriors in the past. It's happened. When he was on the Kings, it was always in a good spot. They're going to have a huge total. They have a big total here. They have a high pace, all that kind of good stuff. But I just don't – I'm terrified that this is like 28 minutes of Boogie and 40 points because the game is 100 and – you know, 100 and – you know, Golden State has scored 110 points in 3 quarters. You know, like I just don't know how that doesn't happen. After I watched them play in Utah the other night, defense was terrible. Now, I didn't watch the Portland game, but Portland has their own issues right now, you know, and they beat Portland, which is strange. You have to think the defense was a little bit better there, but – I don't know. JoJo versus Phoenix. Yes, Joel Embiid versus Phoenix. Of course you want to get involved here. 10-4 on DraftKings or 10-4 on FanDuel, 9-8 on DK. You know, I mean, the guy continues to be rock solid. You know, we've slowed down. We've definitely slowed down the scoring. You're going to get a wider range of outcomes lately. He has not been, you know, the 90-point guy that we saw after that game. That was, you know, he definitely slowed down. He's scoring in the 30s and the 40s, but he showed a 60-point ceiling in that Washington game. But I think, you know, of late, he's been a little bit more tame. You know, a little bit more tame, anywhere near 20 attempts. And fewer assists. Like, you know, he's gone a couple games in recent weeks without any assists. And if he doesn't add the steals and the blocks, which is really really rare. I mean, Phoenix is going to allow steals and blocks, no doubt about it. They turn the ball over a ton. You know, and he's going to get fouled more. You know, he got fouled. He's getting fouled in the double digits time. You know, sending him to the line plenty. So you really like the spot. It sets up really, really well. He shot poorly against Detroit. That was part of the reason. He shot pretty poorly against Orlando, too. You have a hard time believing that he shoots poorly against Phoenix. You know, Tyson Chandler is good, and he will start and guard Joel. He's a good defender. But he does, he has lost a step. I think that's fair to say. And attacking Phoenix in the front court actually hasn't been as good as it is as attacking it, you know, on the wings, in the back court. But it's still a rock solid spot. And, you know, I mean, they still, offer one of the just overall worst DVP, across the board. So Simmons and Embiid in your lineup, no problem with that. No problem at all. I have no issues with getting as many 76ers as you can, or you can go with the cheap ones. You can go to Dario and Bob Cove and Redick and know that they're in a really, really good situation as well. So, I like JoJo versus Phoenix. All right, let's move on to the Grout guys. Price, you know, kind of in the 8K and below range. Got to start with Kemba versus Orlando. Now, we had him. He was on the injury report over the weekend. He has a shoulder injury after they played the Spurs. It was kind of a big deal. I mean, he didn't play because he, you know, and it wasn't his shooting shoulder. Like, that's the thing. Is it's kind of nice that you're like, okay, it's not his primary shoulder, but at the same time, it was painful enough that he couldn't even play. What the hell happened? You know, he ran into Aldridge, I know, but I didn't see the play. He's 7'8 on FanDuel, 7'5 on DraftKings, but versus Orlando is just an absolute smash spot, divisional matchup. He's going to play his minutes, and this team just is getting destroyed by point guards. The league's worst efficiency differential. They've yielded a total backcourt line of 47, 13, and 13. Listen, Walker is 60% of that, right? He is well over 60% of that. You know, he has the team's highest usage rate. He's their most influential offensive player. He's going to resume that. The question that you have is, can you play an injured Kemba Walker? How bad is the injury? Is he going to try to limit himself? Is he going to defer to other guys because this is a good spot for them? I don't know. I don't know. If it's his, you know, it's his non-dominant shoulder, that's fine. But if it was bad enough for him to sit out as a non-dominant shoulder injury, that's not good. That's not good. And I don't necessarily love playing injured players, even if they're in a smash spot. You know, that concerns me. So I think you're careful what you wish for, because there's other guys in this price range that aren't injured and have good matchups. And I think that starts with Dennis Schroeder and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are playing each other. Now, Schroeder is 8'4 on FanDuel, 8K on DraftKings. Dinwiddie is 7'5 on FanDuel and 7K on DraftKings. Now, let's talk a little bit about Schroeder here. Schroeder, whatever you want to call him. Dennis, the menace. You know, he's obvious, and I think a lot of people are going to attack him. It feels very comfortable going after Brooklyn, terrible defense. Massive pace bump. You love this. The last five games, point guards are averaging 35 points against, courtesy, by the way, of fantasy5by5.com, DVP deep dive, figuring out how have point guards performed against them recently. Last five games, they've averaged 35 points against them. Everybody's scoring above average. Everybody's performing above their season average against Brooklyn in the point guard position. Pace-up situations benefit point guards. They do. They push the ball. They create more opportunities for them to handle the ball. That's good. Volume, volume, volume. I mean, and real scorers like Steph and Dame absolutely smash, you know, like over 50 for both of those guys. So that's great. And there is a ton of injured Hawks, so you know he's the highest usage one. The problem is that Schroeder really has like a 40-point ceiling. Even against the Nets, that's his ceiling is 40 points. Now, I have no problem projecting him for 40 points, but that's it. That's the end of it. So why would I pivot to Dinwiddie? Well, Dinwiddie is $1,000 cheaper on FanDuel, and he scored 40 points in this exact same matchup against Schroeder. And it's just as good a spot to attack Atlanta at the point guard position as it is to attack Brooklyn. I mean, they've been terrible against this defensive DVP versus the point guard here. So Dinwiddie gets, this was one of those, by the way, home away series. So Atlanta was at home and now they go up to Brooklyn and play another one. You know, Dinwiddie is averaging almost the exact same numbers. And he's slightly more efficient and has a better ceiling, primarily because he actually does way more in rebounds and assists and steals. Schroeder just scores. I mean, he just puts the ball in the bucket and he'll get, you know, five, six, you know, accidental rebounds or five or six assists here and there. But he's primarily a scorer. And so that's part of the reason why you see his ceiling limited at 40 points. You want those peripherals, and Dinwiddie offers some serious peripherals here. I think he's a solid pivot, you know, away from Schroeder. If you get the same outcome from these guys or the same range of outcomes, 35 points and above, which I think is very fair, then Schroeder is the better point per dollar play. Or excuse me, Dinwiddie is a better point per dollar play. So I think it, I think you could do it either way. You know, I mean, the reality is that, like, but this is another DVP deep dive that I found. Last 10 games, there's only one performance against Atlanta for the point guard that's 25 below 25 fantasy points. That's it in the last 10. Like, the floor is there, the ceiling is there, the price is there for Dinwiddie. It makes, like, makes a very logical pivot. The other guy that I really like is Eric Bledsoe. And I don't love the matchup. Obviously, you don't necessarily love, you know, against matching up against this team. Boston is a great defensive team, still one of the top teams in defensive overall defensive efficiency. However, what we are going to expect is a high scoring, competitive game where starters are going to get full run of minutes. Okay, I have no problem projecting that. You know, and then for the same reason, you could go to Kyrie Irving here. But I think Kyrie's price, like a ceiling price, like kind of like Schroeder right now, right? Bledsoe just isn't priced appropriately. And when he gets the minutes, he's been scoring a lot. You know, and I think that that's the key thing here is he's actually exceeded value in four of his last five. Now, he's had a couple duds in there, but a couple of those were just absolute complete and total blowout with you know, with a Giannis smash spot. You know, the Dallas game was kind of predictable. They're a pretty slow team. But, like, 7K after he went for 40, 46, 36, 43, 39, that's just not – he's not priced appropriately. He's not priced appropriately. So I really like this spot for Bledsoe. I think it's a really interesting price, and I think it's kind of, you know, a solid pivot away from – what everybody else is thinking. Now, Darren Collison is in an excellent spot, 5'9", 5'7". He's the kind of guy that if you love the rest of your roster and you're like, okay, need like a 6K point guard here. Boom. He's the one. He's the guy you put in there. I love that spot for him. So I think he's an easy one if you need the savings. And you know what? He's not going to disappoint you. I mean, Darren Collison, you know, the Knicks, by the way, it's just one of the best matchups to attack on the board, no doubt about it. They have been very easy to exploit at the point guard position. And Collison, 20-point floor, 35-point ceiling. You know, I mean, even against Toronto, good defense, he took 13 attempts and scored 34 fantasy points. Because he, you know, he'll get the assists, he'll get a couple steals here and there, that kind of thing. It's a really, really good spot for him. I mean, he had 40 out there against New York last time out. You know, and so you really know that if he has a plus matchup, that he has the ability to exploit that plus matchup. You know, 32 against the Magic, he's just a great cash game play. You know, the minutes, 30 minutes more or less, the price isn't too expensive. You have a predictable range of outcomes for him so long as he takes some shots. And you should be able to take some shots against a bad New York Knicks defense in the backcourt. So I like that spot for Collison a lot. All right, let's move on to the shooting guard. Devin Booker is really appealing at 6'5 on FanDuel. I really, there's part of me that really likes him, because not just because of his recent performance, but because he has to score for this team to even be relevant. You know, it's he's 7K in FanDuel and 7-8 on DK. And that's because of the three point bonus, no doubt about it. So he's definitely a better FanDuel play. But the problem is on FanDuel, you're paying 7K for a guy who's never going to steal the ball or block a shot. So, you know, what do you want to do with that? You don't necessarily want to do that. And you do have to worry about the Bob Cove defense. And the reality is that while for a while we were attacking them at the shooting guard position, that has kind of changed. I think their defensive rotations out front have been a little bit better. They're limiting more perimeter players. Like, it kind of seems like the point guard is the place to attack them because Redick or whoever is playing in the backup point guard position, that's where they're defending, and they're using Simmons and Covington on the primary scorers. Like, Bradley Beal really struggled against this team. And, you know, talk about similar game style, right? Primary usage player, high volume scorer, going to take a lot of attempts from the three-point line, going to try to create a lot of dribble drive situations. And if you limit him, you limit the whole team. I mean, it's very, very similar profile, and I think they probably could attack him in a very similar way. You know, he had a great game against Boston. Again, he took massive attempts, got massive minutes, but he's inconsistent. He's super inconsistent. So can you always expect Devin Booker to have an explosion game? Absolutely. No doubt about it. And this could be a good one for him. You know, they had a lot of rest before that Boston game. He had a day off on Sunday. You know, not a lot of travel there. So certainly isn't, you know, the rest issue. There's no problem with that. You should have fresh legs. You worry about a little bit about blowout because, you know, if Simmons and Embiid get going, they can really get on a heater. And if this defense shows up, and Philadelphia's defense can show up every once in a while. They do. They're not a terrible defense, but they're inconsistent. So I like Booker. I think he's only a tournament play. I think you could go down to a guy like Evan Fournier in your cash game lineups. There's a lot more other names out here, and I'm going to talk about them. Don't worry. But I wanted to talk about Fournier in this spot at 6'3 and on FanDuel and 5'5. I just think that he's a really sharp play, especially on DraftKings at 5'5. He's regressing positively. Progressing positively, and his price didn't adjust. And Charlotte is a good place to attack the wings. We want to attack three-point shooters against Charlotte. Now, it hasn't been as good recently. The addition of Nick Batum has limited them. You know, DeRozan smashed here, but that was the first Batum game back, and they didn't have any Kemba Walker. So now you get Kemba and you get Batum. It's helped their defense. I mean, they've limited guys to performing below average in the last three games, according to the DVP deep dive. So you definitely have a better, longer, stronger defender in Nick Batum. You know, I mean, people forget the guy is 6'7". He's big. He's like Klay Thompson size. So that's not exactly a phenomenal matchup. But Fournier seems to be out of his shooting slump and a little bit better off. Something to consider there. Now, a few other names that I don't want to leave out. Tyreek versus Minnesota. We attack the wings on Minnesota. No doubt about it. Tyreek should be in a great spot. I loved him against Cleveland. He smashed, no doubt. Don Mitchell versus Washington. I think people may think, you know, I don't know if this is a good matchup. They're struggling in the backcourt without John Wall. They just don't have enough juice. I think John Mitchell's in a great spot. The question that you have is, like, who guards him? I mean, probably Bradley Beal, who isn't a bad defender at all. It's just, do they have the ability to, stop the switches and everything like that? One thing you want to consider is whether or not Rodney Hood is back. If Rodney Hood is back, then, you know, you like him a little bit less. But, man, the guy proved he is an elite scorer. He's proved that again and again and again, you know, and so you just don't need to go away from him in this situation. And I don't mind Gary Harris versus Dallas. I mean, you talk about a guy who is just unbelievably consistent and won't get affected by whether or not Wilson Chandler is back. It's Gary Harris. You know, without Nikola Jokic, he's been excellent, you know, in his last two games, 41 and 34 fantasy points. He's priced at 6,500. You feel very comfortable saying, okay, go out there, Gary, and get me over 30. just especially with the minutes and the usage and the way that you know he's going to contribute more than just the three-pointer. But the three-pointer is especially appealing against Dallas. It's been a thing, you know, for them. And he does shoot the three, but he will add rebounds. He will add the assists, all that kind of thing. So definitely have some interest in Gary Harris in this spot. Other than that, I think it's a, you know, it's a volatile play to go with a guy like Justin Holiday. He's scoring dependent, and, you know, he has shown some pop, but he's also shown a really bad floor of late. Now he's shown a bad floor against good defensive teams. And he, you know, shows his pop against teams that aren't that good, like a Phoenix, but Phoenix, remember, was on that 3 out of 4 run, and they just weren't, they had no legs. He gets a fresh Cleveland team. But, you know, Tyreek Evans just destroyed these guys. And the reality is that you can beat Cleveland on the wing. I'm having a hard time scripting that game because you never know which team shows up for the Caps. You know, but I think Holiday is good for well over 30 minutes. He has been playing a ton of minutes for the Bulls. So I have no problem with Holiday at 5'8". I think he's not necessarily a guy that you're going to lock into your lineups. But he's a guy that you feel comfortable saying, okay, I can go with Holiday here at this price. At this price, you know, 30 points in a relatively plus matchup, I don't mind that. Moving on to small forward. Small forward's a little bit more thin than shooting guard. I think shooting guard is the kind of position today where you kind of let it come to you. You don't overpay, but you let it come to you. You try to be a little bit more aggressive, maybe somewhere between the upper fives and 7K range, because there's a lot of good spots out there and you don't want to miss them. But at small forward, I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. I think people are going to probably on DraftKings play Giannis. I think they're probably also going to play some LeBron just because he is the highest price guy. And then I think they're going to spend down because there are a couple spots where you can spend down. But in the middle, you have a guy like Bob Covington versus Phoenix. This is a great spot, obviously. You know, who TJ Warren guards is going to be an interesting question. Is he going to guard Simmons? If that's the case, and Covington should be able to get up a lot of shots like he did last time. He took 19 attempts on Saturday versus Detroit and got the shot back. And that was the key thing, right? I mean, he just was shooting so poorly for so long that his price was dropping, and he wasn't shooting because he was shooting so poorly. Like, he tried to shoot his way out of it a couple times, and he just stopped. Like, he just was like, something is not working. But he's back up to 7K on FanDuel, 6'2 on DraftKings. You know, I mean, he's a fantasy point per minute guy if he gets the buckets. If he gets the buckets, he's a fantasy point per minute guy. But, you know, you do have these floor games for him where he shows up and he really does not much at all, you know, because he won't shoot and he gets some fouls or he gets in foul trouble. And, you know, there certainly is risk with that. But he's going to stay involved. You know he's going to get the rebounds. You know he's going to get the assists. And I love the steal upside versus a team like Phoenix. The steal upside, the turnover upside for them is huge. You get those fast break points. They allow fast break points. You have a pace-up situation. He thrives in those. So I like that spot a lot. I don't mind Harrison Barnes either. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no issue with Harrison Barnes. He's been playing well. He's priced up. But a matchup with Denver, I think their defense just not very good right now. You know, and I think that he should be able to do some good work against this defense. He just doesn't take enough shots, which you hate. He does a lot, right? But he's not really, I mean, there's times where he takes, you know, upwards of, you know, 15 or 20 shots. And there's times where he only takes, you know, 10. It's hard to assess which Harrison Barnes you're going to get, and you are paying a high price for him. in this situation. Damari Carroll's in a good spot too, by the way. Atlanta allows a lot of scoring on the wing, and you know, if he can hit the three, like Carroll will smash. He's very consistent. He's he's relatively inexpensive. You know, 27 points is about the floor here. Really, really consistently getting that return. And if he makes the threes, man, he'll pop. You know, he'll go for over 30. So I have no problem with Damari Carroll. But there are some guys down in the 5-5 range that I think, you know, you're interested in. I'm not that interested in Jimmy Butler. His price on DraftKings, though, is just insane. 6'9". I mean, he's just he's the same price as like TJ Warren and Otto Porter almost. Like, you're getting a guy who, and the Memphis defense is not the same. Maybe DK's pricing algorithm has Memphis defense as elite right now, but it's just not. I mean, they're in free for all. They were with Mike Conley, they were like above 6 in defensive rating, and now they're down to 12. Like, this, they have been allowing a ton of scoring. So definitely a spot to attack pricing inconsistency on FanDuel. At power forward in the Grout section, I don't really love a lot of these guys. I think you're overpaying. I think you want to go down into the 5Ks at power forward today. I think that's just kind of a better situation. There's a lot more like kind of under 6K. You know, Derek Favors doesn't bother me. I think that attacking the four here is good. I'd like him better on DK at 6'7". I think that that's a good, solid price. You're asking him for above 30 points, but not quite over 35. I think that's a great spot for Derek Favors because, you know, the Washington front court defense, not that great, but not that bad, you know, but just not as good as people think. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson versus Atlanta, I don't mind that at all. But again, that's a DK play. You know, I'm not touching Lauri Markkanen. I don't like Tobias Harris. I like Dario Saric, but I mean, I don't like Dario Saric for 6'4". You know, I mean, he's going to be good against Phoenix, no doubt about it. This is a good spot. I think if you fit him in, but the Dario Saric price, the ideal Dario Saric price is 5'5". That's the ideal Dario Saric price. And that's not, we're not there anymore. So kind of irritating. I do, however, really like Thaddeus Young. I like Thaddeus Young at 5'7", and Ersan Ilyasova at 5'6". So those two guys definitely are on my radar. Ersan, I mean, he has to play minutes. They don't have anybody else. He has to play minutes. He only played 23 in the Brooklyn game. I'm not sure why. Maybe Babbitt was getting the minutes. I'm not really sure who, because John Collins is out. You know, he shot pretty poorly there, but he took his shots. So, you know, you kind of have to like Ersan no matter what, just because of, you know, the fact that he could get 30 minutes against a Brooklyn front court. I'm not really sure what else they're going to do. They don't really have any other front court players in Atlanta. You know, I mean, they have Luke Babbitt and Tyler Cavanaugh. You know, that's it. I don't, you know, who, and Cavanaugh got 21 minutes. Let's see, Babbitt got, in that last game, Babbitt got decent run. He got 20 minutes. Ilyasova got 23 minutes. They just don't have enough front court players. You wonder what they're going to do. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out who else is playing in the front court in Atlanta. Is Plumlee playing? I mean, they have Muscala, right? Muscala and Plumlee. This is terrible. This front court situation is just brutal. Plumlee did well, though, against Brooklyn last time out. He had 20 minutes, 3 blocks. That's not going to happen again. Anyway, all right, sorry, that was really boring, but also necessary deep dive into what the fuck is happening in the front court of the Atlanta Hawks. All right, let's move on to the center position. If you're in this range at center, I'm going to tell you straight up, Enes Kanter, man, got to love him. Like, I love Boogie and I love Embiid. I might just go down to Cantor right now because the way he's been playing without Porzingis has just been excellent. No Porzingis in the lineup. Now, it's a back-to-back. You don't love that. It's a road back-to-back. That's not great. But you have a phenomenal matchup with Indiana in the middle. They allow massive scoring in the paint. He's gone 6x in both of his last matchups. He was more expensive yesterday on FanDuel. Tonight, he's 6,600 and 6,200 against Indiana. I mean, on DK, like, 6,200 is too inexpensive for this guy. Fit him in a flex, fit him in a forward position. You can figure out how to make him a utility player because this is a phenomenal matchup for centers. And he's a scorer. Like, he scores in around the rim. He doesn't shoot the three. You want him to score in around the rim. He's been getting a ton of rebounds. This is not a phenomenally good rebounding team. 14 and 16 rebounds, 13 attempts yesterday versus Orlando over 30 minutes. Is he going to play all of those minutes again? You know, I don't know. I think he has to. That's the problem is, but you have a problem. With, one of the issues that you have is you have a big who played 30 minutes. You're on a road back-to-back. He could go down to 25. You know, he was coming off that injury. And they could limit him here. But, I mean, even in 25 minutes against Miami the other night, he still went for 42 fantasy points, which is just insane because he had the double-double, right? I mean, he scored 20 points really quickly and had 14 rebounds. You know, he is going to do both ends. He's going to, you know, and he's going to get you double-digit rebounds, especially in this matchup. And there's a ton of scoring efficiency that you can, you know, take advantage of in the paint. The other guy, though, that you have to love in this situation is absolutely and completely is Dwight Howard. Now, Dwight Howard completely burned me, but Dwight Howard revenge game is a thing. When he goes back to the franchises he used to play for, he does well. You know, Dwight Howard versus Houston, Dwight Howard versus Atlanta, Dwight Howard versus Orlando. Let's see. Dwight Howard versus Houston, 45 points this season. Dwight Howard versus Orlando, 36 points this season. Dwight Howard versus, they played Atlanta, didn't they? He didn't play Atlanta? Yeah, they played Atlanta in the season opener, 35 fantasy points. So he played like, you know, the revenge narrative back to back to back to back. So, you know, he played terrible against Miami the other night, but part of it was that he had a ton of fouls and he had 9 turnovers. He didn't play down the stretch. You know, you have to think that he just gets back to his normal starter role unless we hear something different. I don't really expect that. But this is a good spot for him to bounce back. And I think he's a decent price play, but I would also really love Miles Turner. I mean, Miles Turner at 6'1", he hasn't been doing a lot. And I would, I don't know if I prefer, I kind of prefer Cantor over him, but that's a really, really good price for a guy with a huge ceiling in a matchup against the Knicks who are totally depleted. Vucevic scored 30 against them last night. So if they decide that they want to go to the paint, they could definitely go to Turner in this spot. That's what I'm looking at in the mid-range of center. I think it's a good option. If you want to get LeBron and you take one of those relatively cheap centers, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. I like it a lot. All right, down in the bargain basement, let's talk about guys who are below 5K. Well, he's not below 5K, but Jamal Murray versus Dallas is a really interesting. He is so inconsistent and hard to peg, but this team does allow a lot of scoring from the point guard position, plenty of shots from the outside. I don't know why they allow the three. I don't know if it's that just Wesley Johnson and J.J. Barea and Dennis Smith just aren't quite good defensively enough. It's also that they switch things a lot. So you get a lot of good switches that are good for good for the little guys because, you know, they're going to switch like Dirk. You know, if you can get the right screener, you get a really good switch there. So that's interesting to me, no doubt about it. I think Dennis Smith on the other way, you know, running back is really good too. Denver, high pace, bad defense. Smith's minutes are trending down, which is a total bummer. But, you know, could he get, you know, closer to 30 this time out? I don't know. I can't read Carlisle's mind. But, you know, if he gets those minutes, boy, I mean, he's been excellent. You know, when he gets those minutes, 5-5 on FanDuel, that's just, this guy can be a fantasy point per minute guy. You know what I mean? Like, there's no doubt about it. So I think it's a good spot to go possibly to Dennis Smith in this situation. I don't mind it. I don't love it. I'm going to be careful what I wish for, but I think it's an interesting spot, no doubt about it. Moving on to the shooting guard, J.J. Redick versus the Suns really feels like kind of not a lock and load, but man, close. Like, he's the guy that they leave alone, right? I mean, because you have too many other things to worry about. Redick, they leave alone in a situation here, and they let him. They say, you know, okay, let him beat us. You know, Washington and Cleveland, he struggled in that game. He struggled in the game against Portland. You know, those are teams that have personnel. They have personnel. But he is going to take shots. If he makes those shots, then you're in a really, really good spot. He's been getting over 30 minutes on the regular. He's still only 5,500 on FD. You like that spot for J.J. Redick, no doubt about it. Obviously, we can continue to look at guys like Alec Burks. So long as Rodney Hood is out, who knows if he's going to play or not. I'm not going to try to predict that, but that's definitely still an option to look, you know, to look at those guys. I think you also have to look possibly at some of these Pelicans. All right. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I think you have to. Okay, because Etuan Moore had a really nice game the other day, and he's in a good spot again. You know, just to rack up a lot of minutes at a very, very reasonable price. Boyan's at small forward, but I do want to talk about him for sure. Avery Bradley's too cheap. There's going to be a game when Avery Bradley goes 6 or 7X. But he just doesn't seem to be taking that many shots right now. I think that that's someone you can look at for sure. Moving on to small forward, like I mentioned, Courtney Lee, really attractive versus Indy here. And John Simmons, also very attractive. Reasonable price, plug-and-play guys, over 30 minutes. They're going to do more than score. You like that spot. Are they going to get more than 30 points? I don't know. But Torian Prince kind of falls into that category as well at the small forward position versus Brooklyn. He just can't really score. Like, he's not really a good scorer. He kind of falls into the same category as Courtney Lee. John Simmons, probably the best scorer of the three of them. You know, Prince, if he gets out in transition, he can score. But he hasn't really gone for over 30 of late. So you kind of worry about that spot for him. You know, Darius Miller, you have to continue to pay attention to because he's going to play Golden State tonight. Even though that matchup isn't phenomenal, he has to score. He has to play minutes at three, and he will shoot. He will shoot, no matter, you know, no question about it. So he's one of their better shooters. They're going to need points from him, so he is definitely in play. At power forward, two guys. I think Michael Beasley will be very, very chalky, and he should. He had a huge game. He is almost min-priced on DraftKings. He's a little bit more well-priced on FanDuel. You know, an Indiana matchup is not the best in the world, but it's not the worst, and they need him to score, and we know he can score. He's going to be one of those guys that just, you got to do it for him. Thaddeus Young, though, I talked about him versus the Knicks. I love this spot for Thad Young. Not going to be a lot of defensive resistance from the Knicks on the back-to-back. I think that Thad Young is in a really good position here. And Taj Gibson. Taj Gibson versus Memphis. His price kind of fluctuates, but it never goes too high. And I think that this is definitely, even with what seems like a good Memphis defense in the front court, they actually have not been that great in the front court. You know, they've allowed some more serious scoring to two centers of late. Now, clicked on the wrong tab. I was trying to pull up some data on Memphis here. You know, they don't allow abundant amount of rebounding and scoring, but they certainly allow enough. And, we know Taj is going to get plenty of run. It doesn't take much for him to be productive. At center, I'm not paying down for center on FanDuel. I think you could go to a guy like a Kyle O'Quinn and hope that maybe he gets a little bit of extra run in this situation. But that's kind of it. I think I'm okay paying up for center. There's too many good options tonight for me to pay down at center. The only other guy maybe would be Robin Lopez against Cleveland. I think Robin Lopez is consistent enough that you could feel comfortable paying for him. So let's go ahead over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup with all this information. Okay, so going to take some news before I get into, you know, finalizing this, but definitely interested in and trying to get... I'm having a hard time getting away from Boogie and Ben Simmons, so I'm going to start with Boogie and Ben Simmons, and then I went up to the top at point guard position where I feel like you can either do... You can do this price point at both places. You know, you can go in the 7Ks at shooting guard, or you can go in the 7Ks at point guard. And I went with Spencer Dinwiddie and Eric Bledsoe. I feel like they're really solid kind of floor plays, 30-plus points. I might go to Collison. I think that there's more profit potential possibly in Collison. At shooting guard, it's Alec Burks. If Rodney Hood doesn't play, you really have to play Alec Burks, especially against this Washington bench that's really bad. Marco Bellinelli at 4,900. He was just kind of a fell-to-me type guy. Not in love with him, but against Brooklyn, he's had a very clear floor. There's some open usage in that on that team. We know he has scoring potential. He can go for over, you know, you need him to get over 20, right? That's not a crazy number for Marco Bellinelli. I don't mind that at all. I don't love that he's a bench player. Darius Miller at small forward, 3,700, fine. Courtney Lee at 5,500, more usage in New York. He's been very consistent. In fact, I would almost prefer him over Michael Beasley, but I have Michael Beasley in there right now, power forward. I don't know how much I like that. Of course, Ben Simmons and DeMarcus Cousins. Now, there's a lot of ways to fool around with this. Like, you could definitely go with Bob Cove over Bledsoe, no doubt about it. You could upgrade your shooting guard positions and try to figure out. But I think we're going to still wait to see some value. I think there's enough value on this slate that people are going to be spread out in who they pick as their value picks. I would like to get another kind of almost min price type guy in there. And I was looking down in power forward range, and there's actually a couple. You know, I don't mind, you know, some of these guys below 4-5 you're looking at, like even a Jeff Green, if he gets run, you know, in this game, if he's been getting upwards of 20 minutes, Chicago's bad. I mean, this is a bad team, and he could definitely do some damage here. 4,500 for him. He does, you know, have a pretty serious ceiling, though, 20 points. You know, guys like Jonas Jerebko is in an interesting price point. Like I mentioned, Georgie Dang, but he hasn't he's gotten some good run, 20 minutes or so, but not perfect, you know. But he still is only 3,700. You like that quite a bit. You know, I think that that's about it, but you can kind of look at some of these 4K guys and make an argument for them. I would like one of these, maybe one more of these guys in my lineup just to kind of get a little bit of extra savings. And at shooting guard, it's kind of similar. You could, you know, those are the positions where I'm always willing to pay down, a shooting guard and power forward. You can look at Etuan Moore. You could look at Kyle Korver. Ben McLemore has been getting more minutes now with a new coach in Memphis. He's definitely a guy that you could look at. Damian Dotson in New York. He started yesterday, but he played terribly and only had 3 fantasy points. So don't get fooled by that. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some different spots you can go. If we get word that, like, Bryn Forbes is going to start for Kyle Anderson, I think that that's definitely interesting. I mean, he got 32 minutes in that Oklahoma City game. You almost really have to consider him because he's a young fella who might fill in for, you know, for Kyle Anderson in this spot. The other guy that I was looking at as a possibility, and I know this is kind of rambling here, but let's talk. I talked about him. Ben McLemore against Minnesota, 3,900. He's kind of interesting. You know, he hasn't gotten much more than 25 minutes, but this is a good matchup on the wings there in Minnesota. Anyway, that's enough, guys. Hey, fool with it. Get some news, and we will see you tomorrow for some NFL game by game breakdown.